Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is a blessing to be here for the first Bible study for 2022. Pastor Landis Fisher here, thanking you and blessing God for you coming to be here with us for this day and this occasion. Amen. So we want to go right ahead and get into a word of prayer, as it is our custom to do. Y'all know that who be with us, that we do like to start out with a word of prayer. Hope this year has been good to you so far. So far for me, it's been fantastic. Amen. So we do want to go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God to bless us today and throughout the rest of this year. Amen. So we're happy you're here. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless your name. We praise you, Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this year. And Father, we thank you for all of your grace and all your mercy. Father, we exalt your name. We lift you up. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord, for everything. Thank you for everything you brought us through last year. Thank you for giving us a future and a mindset to look into this year with you in the middle. Lord God, with you in the midst of everything. And so, Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for protection, for healing, for mercy, for grace, for provision, for everything, Lord God, all that you provide. And it's been so many things, Lord, we can't even count them all up. But we just want to give you praise today and thank you for this year, Lord, and for everything you brought us through. Father, we ask you to keep on forgiving us. Help us to be connected to the fact that you have given your son. You made such a great investment in everyone under the sound of my voice, whether they accept him or not. You have given your son for them, whoever they are. Those of us who know him, we know that that's what you've done. And so, Father, we want to give you praise and thank you for making a provision that to put an eternal high priest in place to continue to service our situation from this time clear on into eternity. And, Father, those who haven't accepted him, we pray for them right now that if they're listening today, that they will come to understand your grace and the provision of Jesus Christ, your son, for the forgiveness of all of their sin. And that the problem is not on your end, it's on theirs, because he died on that cross in order to give salvation to whoever trusts him. Help them to see that today, Lord God, and embrace it for themselves so they can join us in the family of God. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We turn over everything in our lives. Father, we ask you to give us a mindset to do that. Father, give us the understanding we need to grow in your word. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for every blessing, Lord God, for every healing. We want to lift up those who need healing right now and ask you to touch them today, Lord, wherever they are. There's people who we all know that had need a touch of healing from your hand. And Father, we ask you now to send it speedily, Lord God, that they might rejoice and give you praise. We ask you to bless the word today as it goes forth, and that it would be for our nurturing and our understanding. And Father, we give you the glory and the praise right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. We thank God for another day's journey, as we like to say. So y'all know who were with us. And if you weren't with us, of course, we keep a catalog online at teachingbible.org or here on Facebook. You can actually look back and see what messages we've been teaching. And I just want to talk a little about what we ended the last year with and started the new year with. Was talking about Christ in you 2022. And we really want to continue with that idea right now, because we think that's just what we need, is to keep our focus on Jesus Christ and his word. Now, one of the great caveats of knowing Christ is the fact that he promises to take us up as his disciples. And so being a disciple is a critical thing. It's unimaginable what it has done for me so far, and what I've seen it do for countless other thousands of people, whoever I've had opportunity to talk with on this topic, is that learning to be in Christ is a very, very important thing. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, go and preach the gospel. That's the good news, that God will settle your sin debt once and for all by his son and his provision, Jesus Christ. Then Jesus also added in Matthew 28, verses 18 on through, he says, to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Then he promised that, lo, I am with you all the days Literal Greek says, I'll be with you all the days, even to the end of the world. So that means he has promised that if you become the disciple, that he's going to be with you, keeping you in understanding, keeping your garments clean from sin because of your confession, which is something that you learn in his word, and teaching you the precepts of his word to be applied to your life every day, every moment, every second as you go through life. And to me, that's one of the great privileges of being a disciple, is learning to apply God's word, allowing his word to wash us and cleanse us. Of course, he says that in Ephesians, he says that the church is to be washed with the water of the word, or so to speak, the word of God cleanses me and you from our sin. It educates us. It teaches us the higher things of God. It teaches us how to tolerate things here on earth, and to be able to deal with our own internal anguish and desires and lusts and greed and all the kind of stuff that has become a part of our lives that continues to try to invade our space. Now, if you're being realistic, you know that all these things that I'm mentioning here and even more try to invade our space. There's all kinds of things that are in our lives, either from times past or something that recently happened or something we hope for in the future. And we have a tendency to get messed up in the present based on something from the past or something that we're worried about for the future. And so we like to talk about that. But being a disciple of Jesus Christ gives you the tools and the equipment that you need to live every day and be able to learn to lean on him even more, trust him even more. And then he equips us how to clear our lives of things that are not godly, things that are not the best for us. And he does these things from a parental perspective, just like you would do for your own children. You teach them how to do things the way you feel is best. And in our case, of course, we're imperfect, so we don't teach our children perfectly. But we learn about all that as we study his word. But in his case, he is the perfect teacher. He is the exact 100% correct teacher, and he's able to teach you and me and nurture us in the things according to his will. And he does it according to our understanding. In other words, wherever you come in, I take you, no matter where you are. And this is why the gospel is such great and phenomenal news, because God says, I'll accept you right like wherever you are right now in your life. You may feel like, oh, I'm in such a dungeon, in such a pit of sin, that God would never accept me. That's not true. I want you to know, you stop thinking that way right now. Realize he loves you right where you are. He knows everything about you, and he loves you anyway. And I always like to say this, if you study with me any amount of time, you know, he loves us too much to leave us that way. He won't leave you in a pit of sin. He knows how to get you out, and only he can do it. Amen. So the problem with not becoming a disciple is you have to learn to trust him. Say, Lord, I am going to trust you from here on. I believe in the provision that you have provided. You so loved the world, you gave Jesus to settle our sin debt entirely, and also to take us up as a student and begin to teach us how to walk by faith and not by sight. And so that's the exciting thing to me. I just get excited when I think about that. And the fact that he loves you, he'll take you right now. He got out of the grave to prove that he alone is the one who has the answer to the problem of death, which is one of our most daunting challenges in this life. And I know that's true, because I've seen how many lives have been just really wrecked and how many people still hold on to hurt right now. And it's not unusual, it's human. But we need to see that God knew that it was human, and that he sent his son to defeat that ugly thing that we call death. It really spins us and wrecks our apple cart, so to speak, really messes us up because we hate it so much. But God fixed it. And that's what you and I have to come to learn. And he proved it by raising his own son from the grave. And so that's the big and the good news about the gospel, is that death, our ugliest and most difficult enemy to deal with, has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus to prove that. And that's why God centered this world on him. So that's the short of the story. But now let's say that what I want you to focus on this year is, and as we mentioned in the previous two messages, centering our years, all of them from here on Jesus Christ. That'll be the most important thing you and I have to do. And we were talking about that starting off here in 2022. Rededicate your life. Some of us say we've slipped away and we've gotten back into a rut, and we need God to straighten us out. Now, you know, Jesus says that that one of those sheep, he says the good shepherd, this is how he puts it, as he'll leave out from the 99. In other words, he'll leave from the main part of the flock and go out and find that one and bring it back, because he's always determined to bring you back, get you back on the right track, and then keep you moving forward. He's the good shepherd who tends to the sheep. He loves you, and he'll come out there and get you and bring you back. Now, we should try to stay in the best we can. But, of course, Isaiah 53, verse 6 is, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned aside to his own way. But the Lord hath laid up on him, speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. So, in other words, he took all the debt for all of our sin, laid it up on his son, and his son becomes the good shepherd, who always has been the good shepherd, to bring us back to the fold and get us back on track. So since he has done that, what I want to ask you to do this year is just practice this. Get your mindset saying, okay, this year I'm centering in on the word. I'm going to do the best I can. Just don't overpromise yourself, but tell God, I'm going to center in on what you have said. I'm going to take the time it takes, because studying the word is not really necessarily easy. And, you know, a lot of times people trivialize studying the word. But I want you to know that that's why Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God as workman. See, he's not saying it's easy. You're going to be a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's going to take some work, rolling up your sleeves, some prayer, some meditation. Remember that? He said, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You're going to have to separate your time and stop listening to the ungodly. Start focusing on God's word. He says that the Lord, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. See that? And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So changing some habits, getting some of our habits changed, where we can now not focus so much on stuff in the world, stuff that we like, just good stuff in this world, or whatever things that are distracting you from becoming a serious disciple of Jesus Christ. You want to start to separate that. Because he says that we are blessed if we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but our delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, getting his law, his book. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, all times of day and night, chewing on God's word. And then he says, because he'll make us like a tree, we'll be stable instead of being wishy-washy. Not only any tree, but a tree planted by the rivers of waters. It brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So God says, I promise you prosperity if you just get anchored and rooted in my word. So let's make that the focal point of this year. And I want to add this at this point before we dig into this lesson. Jesus Christ supplies me and you with everything that we need. We are complete in him. That's what the scripture says. We were looking at that. We always are looking at that in the scripture. But he makes you complete. You need to understand that. Don't go around letting the enemy or the flesh or the world or your neighbor or your friend or anybody telling you you're inferior, because Christ has made you what you need to be. And all we need to be after we get saved and trust him and believe God is raising from the dead, the scripture says we should be baptized into him. That means I'm willing to make a public confession that he is my Lord, he's my Savior. I confess him openly among the saints and among the world. And then I'm going to be a disciple, a learner. I'm going to dedicate my life to study, to show myself approved to God, not to your preacher, not to your mother, not to your brother, not to your neighbor, not to your friends, but to God, as a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's the ongoing part of it. The initial part is trust Jesus, realize he has covered you for everything you need. He alone makes us complete. We are complete in him, the scripture says. We've been looking at that. So he gives you a complete salvation. You know what? If he didn't do it, we would never get right. That's the truth. The truth is, no one would ever come to God if we had to wait till we clean up everything in our lives. We'd still be out there and say, oh, that's why some people don't come, because they don't realize the gospel is really that good. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means you, that believes in him should not perish. We talk about that verse a lot because it embodies the story that God has given his son for you. Amen. He did it so he could have that relationship, so he could put away the enmity and the animosity between us and God. And he settled it with Christ. So, and that's what the lessons that we talked about previously were about now. And I'm going to bring you around the circle here so you can see what we're looking at here this year. Centering our years on Jesus Christ. This is what we must do. So the focal point of our lives and the lives of the children of Israel, this is what we looked at in that Exodus 12 package that we just looked at before, where they were charged with placing the Passover lamb in the center of their lives. In Exodus 12, you can read that for yourself. We talked about it in the past two messages. If you weren't with us, you can go back and listen previously. So God said, center your year on the lamb. The lamb is now going to be the center of the year. Starting off, this is the beginning of the months for you. It's the beginning of the year. In other words, change the way you think about the whole world and everything in it. Put Christ, the Passover lamb, in the middle of your life. And let him be the focal point of your whole year. Okay, and so he told this to the Jews while they were in bondage in Egypt, that they were to center their life on the sacrificial lamb that would be the one who would, because of his sacrifice, he would prevent the angel of death from smiting the firstborn in their households all through the land of Egypt. They learned that it was true after they observed the Passover. And he told them this Passover is to be kept throughout all your generations. Continue to do this because he was pointing them toward the time when Jesus, the Lamb of God, would come once and for all and take away the sin of the world. And so he told them, focus your life, make your life centered on the Lamb, on the Passover. So likewise, we, as children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, who is the permanent and everlasting sacrificial Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ, must become central to everyday life and practice. You and I need to make Christ central to everyday life and practice, because if we do that, there's going to be a lot of stuff we can't do. It'll eventually make it where we say some things we got to cut out because that has nothing to do with Christ. And so we're going to have to start examining and reevaluating the things that we do, the ways that we think, the stuff that we allow ourselves to hear, the people who we have to be with. If there's people who take you off the tracks and get you into a situation that you know is ungodly, we may have to put some distance between us. Doesn't mean we're going to cut them off forever necessarily, but they may be. What God says is allow the Holy Spirit to be in your life, which he will be. If you trust Christ, he will come in and take residence up in you right now. The moment you trust Jesus, he'll be in you and he'll help you sort through who is really helping me, who's hurting me. Now, some of the problem with that situation, I just want to go on record here now, is that our own flesh says, we kind of have toxic relationships. We hear a lot of talk about that. And sometimes we become codependent on toxic relationships. And I'm not one who will give you psychology, but because I don't necessarily believe in it. I believe in Bibleology. If you will. I want you in the Word, and I want to have you trust what God said. And, you know, the people of God got along a long time before any science of psychology or any of that came along. Now, I'm not saying throw out all psychology, but I am saying pick up some Bibleology, if you will. Let me go ahead and put it in that. Make your life bibliocentric. That's what I always like to say. Get the Word in the center of it. And then you can really, truly sort through the stuff that needs to be adjusted or changed. Now, you may not be willing. This is what I was trying to say originally. We may not be personally willing to let some of those things go. Sometimes we get attached and it's something that we'll have to pray about. And a lot of times that's the case. So instead of recommending shock therapy or drugs or anything of that sort, how about meditating? Let's meditate and let God, the Holy Spirit, teach you some things. Let him, that's why he says, Jesus put it this way, Matthew 11:28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, that rest can come from him into your life. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's a way of saying, hook up with me and I'll teach you what you need to know. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and in me you'll find rest for your soul. So he said, I'm going to give you some rest in some areas you've been struggling with. If you just let me in, hook up with me, determine in your mind, I want to do it God's way this year. I want to start today, bring some things, set them down before the Lord in prayer, and ask Jesus to help me directly for these things. Help me with these relationships. Help me with my demeanor. Help me with my attitude. Help me with whatever it is, habits that I have, bad habits. Maybe I got bad habits. I know they're bad. I've been struggling with it. my flesh likes it and I want to keep doing it, whatever it is. But maybe I need to put that thing down on the altar and tell God, help me with this. And so that's what we all need to do. Everybody has these things. It's not just you, beloved. Sometimes some of us have overt things that are easy to see. But the ones that are not so easy to see sometimes are way worse. You know, things that we do in secret and we think it's secret. It's not secret to God. It may be secret between us or someone may not know about it. But God knows about it. So we just need to come clean, come real, and talk to God about all those things. Now, you know what else the scripture says? Confess your faults. James tells us one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So some stuff we keep secret because we don't want any help getting rid of it. We want to keep it. So that's the truth. That's the real bottom deal. But if we were learn to network with people who are like-minded, who are in the body of Christ, and sometimes like we have, that's why we have groups for, say, for example, Alcoholics Anonymous or Smokers Anonymous or whatever, just so many different things, Narcotics Anonymous. We have group therapy where we talk together with other people who are struggling with similar things to what we're struggling with, or sexual addictions, all kinds of things that you and I have to deal with that we need to work with as a group and allow God in the middle of it, and he can fix some stuff that we would never even think that we certainly couldn't do it alone. So there's a lot of things like that. That's why we need the body of Christ, and we need to network with one another. I realize it's been made difficult in these past couple of years with the pandemic and all of that, but that's beside the point. We still can fellowship. We have other ways we can get together and help each other defeat some of these things in our lives. So this is what the calling from God is for you and me to get into the fellowship of the community of people who are like-minded, who understand these things. So the Jews were called to that type of a lifestyle. Now I have another note I want you to look at here. I believe that we are spoiled in many ways because, unlike the children of Israel, we actually have the entire Word of God at our fingertips. Now, this is something I just wanted to add that. Let's think about this. In the land of Egypt, they didn't have the published Bible, all of God's Word, all of His revelation. They got started receiving it through Moses. Moses was called to give them the book of the law and to write down all the things that happened in Genesis, how God created the world and all of that on up until the time of how the people of God were called and developed. And then even to when they were in bondage for 400 years. And he writes all of that in the book of the law. And he brings them out. God brings them out with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, the scripture says, and brings them through the Red Sea away from their enemies. And he brings them out that they may come and worship him. That's the real big issue. And so they didn't have the whole Word of God. Think about that. They only had a little bit of revelation. You and I have all the revelation from God. So we are held more highly accountable in some sense just because we have all of God's Word than some of the people who existed, for example, at the time of Moses. And the ones before Moses had no other than direct revelation from God, people like Abraham, then Joseph and folks who God spoke to directly, Jacob and people of that sort. So they had less revelation, although they did have a tight relationship with God. And the reason we know about those people is that God gave us what I always call retroactive prophecy to speak through Moses to tell us what happened all the way from the creation up until he singled out a people for his own possession. So the book of law is really important. It's a very important part of the Bible. We love it. We don't cast it out at all. In fact, we exalt it. But what I'm speaking on here is that you and I, even after the book of the law, we got the law, the prophets, the Psalms, the holy writings, and the New Testament. So we have all of the revelation of God after he sent his son Jesus. So there's a lot for you and me to feed on. And of course, Jesus said this. He said, to whom much is given shall much be required. So the requirement, the bar was raised a little higher after God dispensed his whole word in the time of the church age back 2022 years ago. And up until now, you and I have had the whole book. Let's put it this way. All of us in our lifetime, the whole word of God has been available to us every second we've been on the planet. And so that's why we are going to be held to a higher standard in many ways. So the Jews didn't have that. That's the only thing I wanted to say there. So I want you to understand this here. Paul writing to the church, this is just a couple of examples we're going to pull out here. In Romans 15, verses 4-6, he says, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward another, one another, in other words, according to Christ Jesus. So we have to learn from the things that God has written that happened to previous generations of saints. We have the stories of regular people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on through to where God produced that same line of people into kings, people like Solomon and Saul and King David and all the kings in the divided kingdom, all that. We got a lot of people's life stories that are selected by God, the Holy Spirit, to look at how God handles situations in politics and government and all of that. And I really like to make sure people get a clear understanding that all of this was done long before our nation and our politics and our government ever existed. So I get a little distraught with people who try to put the scripture into Americanism when the scripture was done long before America existed. So really, America needs to get into Bibleism so we can understand what really is true and what God really is honored by, not by trying to crush it into an American system. Because it's really a long way away from an American system. It was here long before. Of course, the KJV, or the Authorized Version of the Bible, goes back to 1611. And of course, you know, we declared independence over here, supposedly in 1776. You do the math and you have to understand the scripture's antiquity is for, it was written long before the formation of this nation and many others that have come along. So we don't want to try to crush the Bible into an American box. We need to let the Bible speak for itself out of the box that God put it in, you see, and understand that. So, and then we could avoid some of the kind of petty confusions that come into the church today. And you hear so much of it today, it's nearly sickening. I can't imagine how God feels about it if it makes me sick. It's amazing. But let me not go there. Let me get off that soapbox. So I want to get back here. So the stuff that's written, Paul says, was written for, before time, was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope, because we can look and see how God handled so many things over all those years. And that we, he says here, that ye may be of one mind, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, everything comes back to glorifying God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for what God did. That's the really important thing. You know, it's important if your country is doing what it's supposed to do. But if it isn't, don't get hung up in it. Realize God's word is higher than anything else that you have to work with. And he's written all of this so we can sift through every possible situation that we could possibly go through. So that's one thing. Now I'm going to move you to another one here. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 and 12. Now, I have to say, in verse, the big controversy in 1 Corinthians is that there was a lot of disagreement about stuff. And I keep this in mind, even the time in the church of Corinth, the whole New Testament was not done. So that's why we end up with the letters from the apostles to the various churches, because they had issues and they hadn't figured out how to sort through the issues they had. One of the big issues in Corinth was that they didn't agree on things. They had a lot of disagreement about stuff. So Paul said, I would that you all speak the same things and that you all agree. So how can you do that? The only way you can is stick to God's book. Stay in the word. Don't get out of the book, because if you do that, that's going to put you on a tangent going somewhere other than where God wants you to go. But they needed to have it written, and I'm glad they did, because therefore we have it too. And so he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter number, this is chapter 10 now. We move over. He says, "On now all these things, speaking of everything that happened to Israel, happened to them for examples," or in samples is the old KJV, "and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come." Now look at that. So everything that happened to them was written for our admonition. So you and I can look at what Israel did, how they did it, why they did it, and realize that it's for our learning. So we can sift through what happened to them, and we can also get some principles out of it that we can apply to what's going on now for us. And this will take us through all of time, because the word of God is comprehensive. So that's just a couple of places that I wanted to talk with you about. Now, this is where we want to tune in just a little here. Time's getting away pretty well here. But let's go to Romans chapter 10. I want you to think with me for a minute in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Now Romans 10 is prolific there. I mean, we can't really scratch the surface of it in the time we have for a Bible study, but we have to study it for a long time. In fact, you'll find online at teachingbible.org the entire series of the book of Romans from some time back. You may have to search through the site if you're interested in doing a study on the book of Romans. And that's one of my, I'm not going to say it's one of my favorite books, but it is. And I have to say, but in either case, you'll find all of that on the website and in the archives. But Romans 10 starts with this. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." In other words, he came to the Jew first, but he was coming for the whole world, anyone, whosoever believes in him. And so they ended up trying to trust in their own works, their own religious system. A lot of things had been corrupted. But Paul said, and he was like that too, so he knew firsthand. He was one who hated the church also, because with the idea of God saving Jews and Gentiles wrecked his whole apple cart. He was just really messed up over that, but then he found out it was true. And so he began to be the most vocal advocate for Christ of any writer in the New Testament or anywhere in the Bible, for all of that matters. And the fact is, you must come to a mature understanding of Messiah, or you misunderstand all the scriptures, because all the scriptures are about Jesus the Christ, and he is the promised one. And so that's why the scripture says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. And so that's a very important thing. But you, and what it says to me and you, just to bring this together for you, is that God has given us a comprehensive word. There's nothing you're going through, nothing I'm going through, nothing anyone you know is going through or has been through that can't be sifted out and understood in the light of the scripture that God has given. And so all these things are written for you and I to really get an understanding and be able to have victory in our lives. He has promised you victory. As he says, "I'm going to give you rest. The struggle's going to be over." Remember that Matthew 11, 28. "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God wants you to have rest. He doesn't want you up at night worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or concerned about what happened yesterday. Whatever it is, he wants you to put it in his hand, turn it over to him, and you rest, because he loves you just like you are. And so this is what I want you to see here. In Romans 10, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." See that? You keep trusting Christ, and he's going to take care of everything you need. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." That's what I want you to see. If you happen to be Jewish tonight and you're tuning in, I want you to know God loves you. He's given Christ for you. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believes. Now, you know what? The law only really persecutes me and you, because we can't keep it. If you're being honest, you know you have not entirely kept God's law. All you got to do is be real with yourself. You've told some lie. You did something that breaks God's law. Not only just the Ten Commandments, but all the law that God has given. We don't do stuff perfectly. Good thing God has mercy. That's what you should be thinking. And the truth is, if we had to rely on keeping law, well, we would all be in trouble. There'd be nobody saved. But God understood. That's why it says he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, centered that lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God, so that we can all trust him, believe him, and come to God and realize we are accepted just by his grace. Isn't that awesome? That's why it's gospel. It's good news. So Paul's trying to get the Jews on the right track here. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, and the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," quoting from the Old Testament. "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed?" And he's asking the question, how is everybody going to get this message? How shall people call upon him whom they have not believed? That's a good question. Then he says, "And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard?" If you have not heard him, how are you going to believe in him? So we got to preach him. That's the whole idea. Notice that he goes on to say, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So God has ordained preaching is the way. God wants to notify the world. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, it's by the foolishness of preaching that God decided to save those who would believe. So this is why preaching is important. A lot of people want to ask, why are they always preaching? What are they preaching for? So you can hear and be saved. That's why we're preaching. We preach to get the good news of Christ to you so that you can receive him and realize that it is great news. It's the best news I've ever heard, that God has given his son for a wretch like me in order to save me from my sin. And he did it, and he raised him out of the grave, so I don't even have to worry about death. Death is already defeated, and I am good right there. We got to know that. So now he's going to give me his spirit. He promised to give his Holy Spirit to whoever believes in him, and the Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll teach you the whole book. If you take the time to study, if you study to show yourself approved, God, the Holy Spirit, you have been sealed with the Spirit if you believe Christ. And he's in there to do a job, and his job is to lead you and guide you to all truth, to comfort you in the word. He's there to rebuke us for our sin and help us realize what is sin and what's not, help us to understand God's word. He's there for a multitude of purposes. It's absolutely limitless. But God has given us that gift, the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, all who trust and believe in Jesus Christ. And so they need to hear preaching. That's why we preach so much. That's why we have so many meetings. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So what we're telling people is the best news in the world. God loves you just like you are. You can't do anything without him, but in him you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He raised him out the grave to take away the fear of death and the sting of death. It really, really affects our lives, and that's the worst thing I know about in life, is dealing with death. But God fixed it. And you need to understand that. And he proved it by raising Christ out of the grave. Now notice this, moving on, so we got time's running out. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. See, we must obey the gospel. When God tells you good news, I've given my son for you, it's up to you to say, I need that. I need him. I want him. I desire him. You must obey the gospel, something you need to believe. Trust him, put your faith in him, and accept God's free gift. He wants you to have it, we're preaching it to you, and he gives you faith, as it says in the next verse. Notice this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's why we preach, that's why we sing, that's why we praise God, because we want you to know God loves you just like you are. He's given Christ to make up whatever your deficit is between Almighty God and yourself. Christ makes up that void, whatever it is. And when you receive him, to as many as received him, the scripture says, to them, he gives the authority or the power to be called the children of God. So that's the only way you can get it. You must receive it as a free gift. God wants you to have it. He's made it available. And he sent us, the church, out to preach it so that it would impart faith to you so that you can take that faith that God has given you right now, raise up your hands, tell God, I trust you, I believe you, that you gave your son for me, and that you're going to fix everything I need fixed. Now, don't look for overnight changes, but just understand the fact that I love you just like you are, and this is a long-term relationship. I'm with you throughout the rest of your days. Right? He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So you and I can trust him to the end of the world. Isn't that awesome? He said, I'm going to bless you with whatever you need. I'm going to give you the understanding you need. We give you the mercy you need, give you the grace you need, give you the knowledge you need. I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what the deal is with God, and so we must preach. So as we conclude, and I see my time's getting away, I want you to understand, he says, but I say, have they not all heard? If we're preaching and you're hearing it, but you're not responding, that's not our fault. That's why we keep telling you that. So this is what we want you to do. Realize this, that the total, full, and complete value of faith in Jesus Christ alone, that's what you have to do, is realize it. Trusting Christ is what will make you right with God. God has decreed that that is the case. He will not take it back. He will not change it. It'll be the same all the way till you see him. There will be no other way for you to be right. Christ alone can save you. You have to learn to accept that. So many times I see people all the time as a pastor who don't want to forgive themselves. God says, I'm going to forgive you no matter what you did. I gave my son to show you how committed I am to your salvation. I gave him and put him in the middle of history, so you can't even ignore him. So why would you turn around and put yourself on a higher pedestal and say, oh, but I can't forgive myself? We shouldn't do that. Accept God's free gift. He's given Christ for you. And then learn to rest in him, assured that he alone has satisfied God completely for us. He meets the complete need of a Savior. That's why God gave him. So there's nothing lacking. When I come to him with my pitiful, wretched condition, he accepts me just like I am, because I believe Jesus is my Savior and that he took my sin and bore it in his body on the cross. And God allowed him to shed his blood for the remission of my sin personally. That's the commitment that we make. That's when we accept the good news that we have heard, is when we accept what God has declared and what he has decreed in the world. Okay, and then secondly, we must learn his word. After that, God says, I bring you on board to be a disciple. And this is the impetus for all of Christian growth and activity, the fact that I become a disciple. Not only that, but God seals me with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to everyone who trusts and believes the gospel. And this is to bolster Christian growth and activity in my life as long as I live, as well as for personal nurturing and for righteousness and for every good work. Everything that he produces in my life comes through the vehicle of the gospel and the Holy Spirit that he gives you by faith when you receive the free gift. And so we must hear and practice the things that we hear. In other words, we need to hear it. That means I want to study, as we say it, to show ourselves approved. So we need to hear it, learn it, and come to know his word. And it's from this that faith comes, by hearing, and hearing by his word. God will give you more faith the more time you spend in his word, either by meditation. Meditation means I'm going to take a verse or something that God is teaching me, and I'm going to think about it over and over and over. I'm just going to let my mind soak on it until I get something out of it. And you know what I've been doing? I find out the more I do that, the more I let that word soak in my mind, the more understanding comes to me personally. God will do it for you. If you take your time, like he told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, he tells him to meditate in my law. Do not let the word, the book of this law depart from your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, and that therefore you will make your way prosperous and have good success. God says, the more you meditate in my law day and night, you're going to be prosperous and have good success. God wants you to be prosperous and have good success. And if you don't have it, maybe you need to meditate a little more in his word, trust him a little more, go another extra mile with God. Keep on walking by faith, not by sight. So this is where we think we'd like to tell you to focus this year. Hopefully you've gotten a good word from this message for yourself. And we hope that you will be blessed and join us at St. Timothy Christian Church. We're located at 11532 Larimore Road out in Spanish Lake, which you can just put St. Louis, Missouri in your navigation. And we're at 63138. That's 11532 Larimore Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63138. And drop by on a Sunday, 11 a.m. Of course, we are still doing some social distancing because of the stuff going on in the world, trying to be sensible and safe. Amen. Because we don't know what's up with all that. And so we just want to comply with social distancing and masks and try to keep people safe and happy. We've done very well in this first year since we went back in, since the pandemic. So we hope that you will join us. Consider joining us there. If not, catch us here on Facebook, and you may send a donation if you like. Go to our website at teachingbible.org, just like it sounds, teachingbible.org, and find out the details there, or send a donation through Cash App at Cash Tag Teaching Bible, and you will get right into our donations there if you want to send it via Cash App. Amen. So we thank God for you. We hope you've enjoyed the message for the evening. And of course, we ask you to comment, like, and share. And we like to come to you at this time every Wednesday. And we hope that you have been blessed. And we're trusting that you have been saved, hopefully, and that God is giving you what you need. And he will do that from here on. Thank you for your attention. And may God richly bless you. Amen.